Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson and then drifting into the Gospel. Actually, starting a half verse earlier, the end of Nehemiah 7. And when the seventh month had come, the people of Israel were in their towns. Seventh month. Actually, from the, and there are different calendar figurings for the people of Israel. According to this one, it places the time of year in the fall of the year, which puts it around the time of the Feast of Booths, which actually is somewhat important for understanding what's going on here. Feast of Booths, the people of Israel were told to live in temporary structures for a week. And still in our day, Jews in New York City will build these temporary stick structures out on the fire escapes outside of apartment buildings and have their meals out there and sleep out there and consider that their dwelling for the week. What's that about? It's a theme that we as Christians can pick up on fairly easily because we know that we are strangers here. Heaven is our home. We are pilgrims through this land and through this world and through this life. And we are looking for a better city. The book of Hebrews says of Abraham and others that they were looking for a better place, a better city. If they had wanted to go back home, they could have done so. But people who do that confess that they are looking for a place where God has established that city and that dwelling. And it is for us to recognize that we are not at home here. The things of our home are the things that the Israelites and Ezra and Nehemiah in this Old Testament text were dwelling on. It's the Word of God. Nehemiah 8 talks about the people of Israel gathering to hear the Word of God. The context is they have returned from exile. It's been 70 years away from the mountain of God and from the house of the Lord, away from having the Word of God read on that mountain of God, away from the place where God said He would meet with them and tell them of His love and tell them of forgiveness and tell them of salvation. It is away from the mountain where Abraham took his son Isaac up on that mountain. Mount Moriah happens to be Mount Calvary, Mount Zion. Away from that place where God would send His Son, away from the temple where all the sacrifices pointed to the Savior who was to come. And now, having come back, they could get together and they could hear the Word of God, and they were hungry for that Word. They were hungry for the Word of God. So what they did is they came together and they began to read the Word of God. So it says in the text, clearly, so everyone could understand, says in the text, with explanations, so they could understand, and they began reading. And they started from the early morning, and they kept on going until midday. It was a give or take, probably more than, a 6-hour worship service. 6 hours. Only time I've experienced that myself was in Africa in 2002, their Reformation rally. Church started at 5:30 Saturday evening. They went on until midnight. They read, they sang, they preached, they read some more. Different choirs came along to sing. The brass choir came in playing the instruments at one point. And they read the Word of God. And they preached and they prayed and they heard and they listened and they celebrated the Word of God. Why do people do such things? Does it not sound strange in our culture and to our ears? A 6-hour worship service. See, that would let us out here at 4:30 in the afternoon. Okay. Why do people do such things? And the answer is, why, that actually is so thoroughly, completely Lutheran. And you're going, what? Why? Why would that be our tradition, our heritage? And the reason why is because we say the Word of God is our life. The Word of God is where God comes to us and He tells us that we are loved and we are forgiven. The Word of God is where He comes to us and He tells us about a Savior. And we understand, we realize this, maybe not as strongly all the time as we should, but we realize this, that without the Word of God, we've got nothing. Without the Word of God, we're wandering lost, aimless. We are the people that in darkness sat. That's us without the Word of God. With the Word of God, we hear that incredibly beautiful, precious message of salvation, that Jesus Christ was sent to us and for us and for our sins, and He's our Savior. And with that Word of God, God takes us and connects us with Himself. With the Word of God, we have everything that God has to give. With the Word of God, we've got life. We've got eternity. We've got heaven. And it's a gift. It's not something that God says, you'd better live the right way and earn this. It's a gift. A treasure that He has given to us freely, without any cost on our part, but simply at the cost paid by His own Son. That's with the Word of God. With the Word of God, we hear of the grace of God. You know, God did not have to. He did not have to take you and speak His word of salvation to you. He didn't have to do it, but He did it. Why? Because He loves you and wants you to live forever with Him. That's what He is about. To be without that Word of God, think about it, being without that Word of God for 70 years? What would it be like if we said, this building is closed for 70 years, remember and tell your children. And in 70 years, we'll be back. What would it be like if you got really hungry for that Word of God and there was no place else to go? And what would it be like if you had to raise your children simply from what you remembered? And the 70 years pass, and now you're there, and you're hungry. And your children are going to hear things straight from the Word of God that you've been trying to tell them from memory, but now they're going to hear it straight from the Word of God. There'd be tears. there'd be a hunger and a lingering and coming together around that Word of God. That's the one end of the contrast. Here's the other end. At Nazareth, on a certain Sabbath day, there came along someone who was named Jesus, and the Gospel of John tells us that he is the Word of God. He is the Word of God in flesh. He is the Word of God come among us, and he is the Word of God, and when he speaks, there is that Word of God that in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He speaks with that kind of authority, and there he was at Nazareth. And the people of Nazareth, well, they had had the privilege of hearing from the Word of God every week, their whole lives. They were not as hungry. But there is Jesus. He steps up, and the scroll is given to him. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. They have standing right before them the Word of God, reading the Word of God and explaining it. The words written on the pages are life and salvation, but there they have the person, hands and feet, eyes and ears. And he is the Word of God. Martin Luther said at one point, and this is one of the famous statements of Martin Luther, he said, "I want no other God than this hairy God." Really? Why is that? Answer? Because only in Jesus Christ, only in that hairy God, that God with hands and feet, with eyes and ears, with fingernails and hair, with earlobes and eyebrows. Only in that God who chose to come down from heaven and walk among us, only in that God do we have the full measure of the grace and the mercy of God. Only in him do we have the fulfillment of everything that was promised. Only in him do we have God who would kneel in prayer, who would receive the lash of the whip and carry the cross, who would receive the nails and shed his blood. Only in him do we have God reaching out all the way to the lost, no matter how far they have gone from God. Only in him does God give us the full, complete measure of the forgiveness of sins. Only in him. And he stands uniquely there to speak the Word of God to us, to earn salvation, to Sunday after Sunday spread a table before us and invite us to come and eat and drink and see the taste and see that the Lord is good. Such a day in Nazareth. And yet they don't see it. It's one of the baffling things of human history that those without the Word of God can be some of the hungriest for the Word of God, and those with the Word of God can take it for granted. It is something that some of the earliest writings of the early church from the second generation of Christianity, people wondered, why are those who grew up hearing about Jesus Christ, why are they wandering off? When we look all around us and there are those who never heard the Word of God and they are so tremendously hungry. What does it say about us? We live in a time and in a place where we have the Word of God anytime we want it. We have it in print. We have it on audio tapes. We have it on computers and iPods and iPads and everything else. The Word of God is sent over the internet, emailed to different people. We have a richness of the Word of God. And yet we live in a time where people wander off from that Word. And they want something else, and they want a more entertaining Word of God. Or they want a Word of God that does not speak in terms of sin and forgiveness. So the question comes to us. How do we respond to the Word of God? That Word of God in Jesus Christ. Do we treasure it? Do we believe that Word of God empowers and moves through our souls and brings spiritual life? Do we commit to that Word of God and we are going to hold fast to it and we are going to follow it wherever it leads us? Are we strangers? Strangers in this world looking for that better city? Or are we perfectly at home in the things of this world and a little bit strangers to the spiritual things? Where do we find our life? Where is our treasure hid? Is it in the Word of God and that relationship with God? That's a challenge to us. It is a challenge to us to take that Word of God and hold to it, and treasure it the way that it should be treasured. The Word is our life. In Jesus' name, Amen.